The road to the MLB All-Star Game presented by MasterCard starts with you. Who will take the field this July? The power is in your hands. Phase one of the 2026 Konami eBaseball MLB All-Star ballot is open. Vote up to five times daily for your favorite stars. And get a bonus daily vote by downloading the Konami eBaseball MLB Pro Spirit game. Top vote getters advance for the chance to be a starter. Cast your ballots at MLB.com/vote. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back inside Surprise Stadium in Surprise, Arizona. I'm Josh Vernier, 610 Sports Radio's Royals insider. And as promised, joining us now, he was on this mound in front of me just about an hour and a half, 2 hours ago. This dude has faced 16 hitters so far in spring and sent 15 of them back to the dugout. I think it was just a it's just single that he's allowed, just for good measure, to give himself like a 0.40 batting average against. He's just rolling. The manager's raving about him. He's Jose Kwas. Jose, greatly appreciate the time tonight. Thank you very much for stopping by.
Of course, of course. Thank you guys for having me.
Well, I mentioned Q. He raves about your confidence, your positive attitude in the clubhouse, and of course, your changeup. Now, the newly implemented changeup, man, how would you describe how you're feeling a few weeks into camp?
Oh, well, I feel great. Yes, the changeup is something that I worked on in the offseason. I figured, you know, add a third pitch to help me out with lefties, which I struggled with last year. And I wouldn't say is where I want it yet, but it's shown flashes. And I've been working on it all spring. I'm going to throw it as much as I can. So it's ready for the season.
That I just got done talking with Chris Bubich about his slider and, you know, Brad Keller about his curveball. We all get excited about these new pitches in spring training. When do you know I'm using this bad boy first chance I get in a regular season game? What happens to give you that type of confidence?
Well, I mean, the more I throw it now in spring, obviously, you know, we're big on judging off results. For me, it's a few things. So once I feel like, you know, where the numbers are consistent, you know, the spin rate and all the horizontal movement, once I get those numbers consistent, then it becomes a listen, just throw it in the game. It becomes a, you know, where I'm confident enough to I trust that it's going to move the way I want it to move and just go. I mean, I feel like the less you think about it, the better it is. So I don't want to give it too much mind, too much thought process. I just want to get out to the game and just throw it and act like I've done it for years.
Royals reliever Jose Kwas joining us here. And, of course, I would assume by now most Royals fans know the story. Drafted as an infielder in 15, moved to the mound in 17, played some independent ball, dropped the arm slot, worked with the great Francisco Rodriguez. Pandemic hits, work at FedEx, grind on the side, pitch well in the Winter League in 21, make your big league debut in 22. And now looks once again like you're going to be a part of this bullpen for 2023. Of everything that happened last season, you're on TV, you know, Joel Goldberg's, you know, running, you know, giving the whole rundown, and that's getting a whole bunch of traction on social media. And then, of course, you know, pitching your tail off. What was the most out-of-body experience from last season?
Everything was. Like, I hear other guys, if they viewed it, of their experiences and how it treated them. And I feel like I'm a true believer in everyone has a unique debut, a unique feeling. For me, I think the biggest thing was pitching in Yankee Stadium. We were there. We played Thursday to Sunday, a four-game series. And, I mean, in those 4 days, from what I know, I mean, I had over 300 people there. So that was insane. You know, I did probably about 12 interviews in that four-day span, you know, and pitching in Yankee Stadium, a stadium I grew up going to. that was just surreal. You know, I didn't really soak it in until after the fact. So once the weekend was over, that I was able to settle down and really think through, like, what just happened. I mean, and it was an unbelievable experience. Probably one of my biggest moments so far at the big league.
So far being the key word, no doubt. So what about your story do you take the most pride in?
Oh, the not giving up. You know, perseverance. That's been the big word. You know, with me, it's perseverance. You know, I persevered. I went through tough times, you know, and didn't give up. I had every reason to give up. You know, once you have kids and you just feel like doors are closing on you, which they were on me. I mean, it's tough to still find that, you know, that rush that you have, you know, when you first get drafted. Oh, yeah, I'm going to keep grinding to get to the big leagues. For me, it was harder because, like I said, I had two kids already. I just got released from the Diamondbacks. I was like, all right, I mean, what now? Like, there's not much more to really look forward to in terms of baseball. But after pitching in winter ball, you know, great feedback from scouts out there and saying that I have what it takes to pitch in the big leagues, which at that point I was already tired of it. You know, so many people telling me the same thing. Hey, you're going to be in the big leagues. You're going to pitch in the big leagues. But there was nothing like for me to look forward to. Like, I didn't see any movement, you know, of me moving towards the big leagues until, you know, the Royals signed me in 2021. And from there on, my mindset was just, I was so hungry. I was so, you know, I had already been through it all. I've dealt with so much adversity that I'm like, okay, what do I have to lose? And that's what gives me that confidence on the field, where it's like, I've been through so much. You know, I don't like to say I deserve to be there, because it's probably not a great word, but I worked my tail off and I belong in the big leagues. And that's what I showed some flashes of it last year. I had a decent year, my first year. And it's only going to get better from here.
Yeah, and man, so well said. And it reminds me of why I always try to use the word earned, you know, for so often. And there's no doubt you guys all have God-given talent. But there are a lot of people with God-given talent that didn't put in the type of work to end up a big leaguer, to earn a spot on a big league roster, not just last year, but it looks like once again here in 2023. You can say you deserve it because you put the work in, you refuse to give up, and not only do you inspire your own kids, but talking with you earlier, man, this off season, you were happy to share your story, because I can guarantee you're inspiring others.
Oh, definitely. I mean, from the DMs to when being back home and, you know, being stopped at a grocery store. I didn't know the story would go as viral,
yeah.
But I'm glad it did. You know, I'm happy that I'm able to inspire others. You know, I've had people that are not in sports, you know, reach out to me and tell me that my story has motivated them to pursue their dreams and whatever it is they're doing. And that's what I want now. Like, now that I know it's so viral and it's so inspiring to others, like, I want to make sure that I get it out there. I want to make sure that people see my story, you know, and motivate them to keep trying to pursue their dreams. Like I said, it's a story of perseverance. It's a story of, you know, going through those tough times. You know, what do you do when you're in that, you know, going through that tough time? You know, do you fold and hope for something to change, or do you go make that change happen? And for my story, I went and made it happen.
So when you're talking with, I know you went to a few either classrooms or schools. Is this in the New York area? Are we talking Kansas City? Where were you sharing your story this offseason?
It was in the New York area. I spoke to Goldberg. I know where he wants to set up some stuff for me to do in Kansas City. Obviously, I want to get to know the Kansas City fans and, you know, let them hear the story from me, from my mouth. No?
Yeah. Yeah. The earlier you mentioned, you know, I am a big leaguer, and man, it makes me feel great hearing you say that. And there's a few other guys in that clubhouse I would like to say that out loud, because you know better than me. That's a hurdle. You can in your mind say, I got big league stuff. I think my stuff's going to work. But until you can convince and prove to yourself that I am a big leaguer, You know, I was talking earlier about Michael Massey. I think this guy's a big leaguer, and yet I still think internally he has questions about himself. Bobby Witt Jr., Brady Singer playing on that Team USA. I hope they come away going, yeah, not only am I a big leaguer, man, I'm a star. I'm just as good as these guys that I'm lining up against. Was it a moment last season that it clicked for you?
Well, for me, it clicked once I signed with the Royals. You know, that once I signed with the Royals, my mindset was I'm a big leaguer. And the thing is, I didn't just say it. I believed it.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't arrogant. It's not like no one could say, oh, yeah, well, Quaz is arrogant. No. Like, it was an internal thing where I knew I was a big leaguer. Every time I went out, I was on that mound, whether it was a double-A, rookie ball, whatever league it was, I'm a big leaguer. I'm just here until my time comes. And I feel like that's what helped me when I reached the big leagues. It's like, okay, I'm here. I didn't get really started. I didn't get struck or nervousness. It was, I'm where I belong. Like, I'm a big leaguer. And my mindset now is the same. I'm a big leaguer, and I'm a star. But that... I don't say it much. I don't tell people, hey, yeah, I'm a big leaguer, and I'm a star. No. I'm going to show you I'm a star. But to me, I know I'm a star. And that's what helps you pitch your confidence.
No doubt, and especially with what you do for a profession, coming out of the bullpen, you've got to have that type of mentality, and yet not many guys have that mentality. You were putting up numbers in the minor league, so I guess it makes more sense now looking back, but now that you're here, who do you lean on in that clubhouse? Who are those guys that reinforce that belief?
Well, for me, I feel like everyone, you know, everyone... I like to pick everyone's brains. I like to get information from everyone. For me, I'm close to Amir Garrett, you know, someone who's had experience in the big league. He's been through it all. And he's someone that when I got called up, that took me under his wing and pretty much showed me how the big league works. And he always instills that confidence in me, telling me, hey, you are nasty. Just throw strikes. You know, Salvi pulls me over. He's like, listen, we had a meeting when I got to some training, and it's like, your numbers on your fastball are nasty. Your pitches are nasty. You need to just throw it over the plate. So they gave me that confidence of saying, listen, if you throw the ball over the plate, you're going to have good results. And I've been able to show flashes of it, you know, just been training off to a good start, and it's just throwing it over the plate. But those are guys that give me, like, they give me even more confidence than I already have.
Yeah. And I watch you guys all in the clubhouse, and you mentioned Amir, who's on one side of the clubhouse, and Salvi, who's on the other. You know, Amir, an American, Salvi, a Venezuelan, and you, one of the few truly bilingual guys in the clubhouse. Does that come with any extra responsibility in your mind to kind of bring the two together?
Yeah, definitely. Like, for me, I want to play that bridge, and that's something that this year, obviously, since I have, you know, some time now, I know how the big league works. You know, guys in the clubhouse respect me, know who I am. I want to be that bridge between the Latin guys and the American guys. Because I feel like to win a championship, to win a World Series, which is our ultimate goal, we have to be one in the clubhouse. Whether you speak Spanish, you speak English, whatever language you speak, we all have to have that same, you know, like one heartbeat. So I feel like I'm that bridge that can connect the Latin-speaking guys and the Americans and make us all gel. You know, with the clubhouse, you walk in the clubhouse and you see everyone talking to everybody. You know, we don't have like islands where like two guys here, three guys there, two guys there. Because then it becomes tough. It becomes, you know, like we all have one goal. But are we working together for that goal? Or is everyone just trying to be selfishly, you know, do what he had, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like we need to have that one where everyone is one. We all believe in each other as much as we believe in ourselves.
Royals reliever Jose Quas joining us here on 610 Sports Radio. And as someone that was around for those championship years of 14 and 15, that's what, you know, Eric Hosmer, Kendrys Morales did a tremendous job of that for those great Royals teams in the past. You mentioned coming into the clubhouse last year, Amir Garrett kind of takes you under his wing. And, you know, I'm listening to an interview Marcus Stroman did earlier today of, you know, he says, whenever a rookie comes into the clubhouse, I want to make sure that they enjoy the big league life, that they don't get razzed by the veterans. veterans that the old way of indoctrinating rookies is no more. You made it to the big leagues. I'm going to treat you like a big leaguer. Amir Garrett fits that bill. He did that with you, with Dylan Coleman, with MJ Melendez last season. Yeah. I'm wondering, what was it like coming into that clubhouse? Because when you arrived, the team was, you know, very tight, 16 games below 500. The calendar hadn't even flipped to June. What was that like for you?
It was tough. Like, I can obviously feel the tension in the clubhouse. And the first person that grabbed me, you know, it was after the game, was Salvi and Carlos Santana. And, you know, I'm listening to them speak about, you know, what's going on and stuff. And their biggest thing to me was, you know, trying not to get caught up into it. And that was the biggest thing for me. Like, I'm a happy guy. I'm a positive guy. You know, I always bring good energy. And that's just me as a person. I didn't want to get sucked up into something negative and then me change and then me get out of my comfort zone. And now it's not Jose Quas pitching. Mm-hmm. It's a replica. Like, I want to be myself. And that's, you know, last year it was tough. You know, went through some tough times. You know, obviously the team wasn't winning. You know, guys weren't happy. Guys weren't producing the way they want to produce. You know, a lot of issues. But I feel like this year, you know, everyone's fresh. We have a young team. A lot of young guys who experienced the big leagues already, so know what to expect. You know, a lot more confident. The coaching staff has done a great job so far in letting us just be us. You know, they're not trying to make me become the next Amir Garrett or Dylan Coleman. You know, they're trying to make me become the best Jose Quas. They're trying to make Dylan Coleman be the best Dylan Coleman and for everyone in that clubhouse. And I feel like that's huge. You know, we want you – feel like you need to be yourself. That's the only way you'll be able to help the team, by being yourself, doing whatever you do best.
I told Amir last week that there were times I'd come into that clubhouse and it seemed like you, him, Coleman and Barlow were the only ones at times enjoying being a big leaguer. You guys would always be out there playing cards. I don't know who was winning more times than not.
Well, yeah, we gotta have fun. Like I said, I like to keep things loose. Yeah. We already have enough stress on the field, you know, and trying to perform and trying to do this. But I feel like if you go out there and you're relaxed, you're just enjoying the moment. You know, you don't know how long you're gonna be a big leaguer. You know, this could all end tomorrow, end in 5 years. But at some point, whether it's tomorrow, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, you're going to have to hang it up. And I don't want to hang it up and look back and say, man, I wish I would have enjoyed it more. And look, now I'm out of baseball and I miss doing this. I miss being in the clubhouse with the guys. Like, I miss, like, you know, I don't want to live with those regrets.
Right.
And that's one thing I try to pretty much show everyone listening. We don't know how long we have left. So enjoy every moment. Be, you know, in the offseason, the first month is fantastic. It's like, oh, yes, I'm glad to be with my family. But after that first month, it's like, man, like I miss being in the clubhouse with the guys. I miss playing cards. I miss, you know, cracking jokes with the guys. Like, you miss these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, just the latest example of baseball mirroring life. Yeah, you don't want to look back on your life. You don't want to look back on your baseball life and say, man, I wish I had more fun. Be present, be in the moment, have a good time. As we're joined by...
Exactly.
Jose Quas, and to wrap it up here, I'm reading Annie Rogers' article after your debut last season, and she has this quote from you where you say, you know, I can't say it's a dream come true because I never dreamt this. So I wonder, have you started to dream? Have you started to visualize the rest of your career, whether it's individual or team success?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
I definitely have a vision now. You know, I'm in the big leagues. I got a taste of it. I know... You know how the day-to-day life is of a big leaguer. I know what it's like to give up a home run the same way I know what it's like to strike a guy out. So I've experienced, I want to say, most of what I'll probably experience in my big league career on the field. Now I have a vision. I want to win. Yeah. I think that's everyone's goal in that clubhouse. We want to win. If we're having fun now, it's been training, just imagine how much more fun we'll have in October baseball. And that's just the ultimate goal, and that's what not only me, but everyone in that clubhouse is working for. And I'm ready to take on this 2023 season. I know we're young. We might not have the big names on paper, but I feel pretty good about this team moving forward.
And I'll tell you this, man, maybe I should be better with my words, but I can't describe to you what it's like in Kansas City with winning baseball. You know, for as much attention as the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce deserve and have earned, it doesn't compare. This city is waiting to embrace you guys, ready to embrace you guys, and can't wait for the opener. Jose, I greatly appreciate the time. Great job tonight, both on the mound and on the mic, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.